Presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
There was a gigantic piece of news that became available to us while we were doing Dog Nation Daily yesterday. And it's kind of funny. We do the show live, and about probably three-quarters of the audience actually doesn't listen live. So I do a lot of interaction on video with the people who are watching in the moment, and yet most people who consume the show end up as a podcast listening to it much later on. A lot of people turn the video show into a podcast and listen to that much later on as well, or watch it much later on. Either way, you don't really care about that. But when we are talking about something on the show, especially if it happens in the moment, oftentimes the people who are later on consuming this in kind of an on-demand fashion are more aware of something then than we are now. Yesterday was probably an example of that. As I was doing the segment that we do called the SEC Through, we talk about other SEC news in addition to what's happening in Georgia. It became known that Dylan Moses, the outstanding Alabama linebacker, at the time was believed to have sustained a serious injury. And later on, it was confirmed that indeed it was an ACL for a Moses. This is just a huge piece of news for the upcoming season, almost as big as you could get right here before the season begins. Moses, maybe just below Tua Tagovailoa, is among the most important players on the Alabama roster. He may be the most talented player on the defense. He's the signal caller for that defense. Oftentimes, those interior linebackers kind of take on the mantle of leadership for the defense. Moses kind of has that. And so, at least in some form or fashion, this will change the calculus just a bit for the national championship race. Now, I don't think it changes things quite as much as some people do. Maybe we'll get more into that later on if we have some time. But nonetheless, if you're an Alabama fan, this is a devastating piece of news. Now, a lot of folks may assume, well, this is also relevant for Georgia because it could be that Georgia plays Alabama in the SEC championship. However, I think the Moses news for Georgia is relevant to the Dogs for a different reason. Let me see if I can set this up. Hopefully you'll agree with me with it when all this is said and done. I think most of you probably will. So Nick Saban yesterday, when he met with reporters, knowing they wanted to talk to him about Dylan Moses, he kind of got a little more open, honest, and introspective than I think we typically see Saban get. Sometimes, because he's a veteran coach, been around for a while, he just kind of knows how to deflect, and he kind of knows how to not let you in if he doesn't want you to. Frankly, Kirby Smart's probably pretty good at that, too. He can allow you to get the quote that you need if that's what he chooses to do, or he can choose to just go in a different direction and not give you that. Well, yesterday, I think we saw a little more candid, a little more open, honest, and maybe vulnerable, maybe too strong of a word to use, but there was at least something approaching that when it comes to Saban yesterday, who talked about the dilemma he faces as a coach when one of your best players gets injured in a practice situation. What do you do about that, and is there a way that can get fixed? I actually liked this from Saban. Now, y'all know I take plenty of, whether they be, you know, objective criticisms or failed pot shots, you know, however you want to describe it. You know, I certainly have some fun from time to time on ragging on Nick Saban a little bit. But yesterday, he said something that I am all in on. Here is Saban reflecting on the reality of a big-time injury when it comes to a guy like Dylan Moses. This is relevant for UGA, too, and we'll talk about it after Saban speaks.
You know, I'm going to say this about Dylan Moses, and then I'm not going to say anything else about it. You know, we love Dylan. He had a great camp. He was a great leader. He was a good signal caller on defense. And, you know, I guess that I'm always the guy that has to make a decision as to whether we practice or we don't practice. If we practice, we got a chance to be good. If we don't practice, I don't see how we can get any execution. So there's risk-reward in everything that you do. I think it's a character check for Dylan in terms of the support that we want to give him and the adversity that he has to overcome. But it's also a character check for everybody on our team to be able to keep the faith, to respond to adversity the way they need to accept the challenge, and to rise above the challenge, support each other, support the young players that are going to have to play, and just kind of go from there. I mean, that's the only choice we have.
So to be clear, when Saban says practices, he's not just talking about actually going out and practicing or not practicing. He means practicing tough, and he means practicing hard. The sort of good-on-good idea of really intense competition where, I mean, I'm not at Georgia practices every day, but when I am there, it's pretty common for one of the players that comes out to be interviewed after practice is over. He may have blood trickling down his leg or, you know, something along those lines. I mean, they're getting after against each other. It was kind of funny. We had an instance like that a couple of weeks ago where he talked to, I think it was Eric Stokes, I think, and he got asked about George Pickens, and because, you know, a lot of times you're just curious about how these guys you haven't seen as much of, how they're performing, and Stokes actually pointed down to his leg, and I'm pretty sure it was Stokes. It may have been somebody different, but I'm pretty sure it was Stokes. But maybe it was LeCount. It was one of those defensive backs, and he pointed down to his leg, and he had, like, blood running down his leg, and he goes, I got this from George Pickens. I was just out there, you know, going, you know, in a one-on-one situation with him a moment ago. That's just what good college football teams do. They practice each other hard. I mean, for Alabama, most of their practices are tougher than most of their games. For Georgia, most of its practices will be tougher than most of its games. And that's kind of how you want it to be, because it sets the games up to be easier, which obviously makes them easier to win, which I think sets you up for a national championship. And the byproduct of that, sometimes you may have guys get hurt during practice. Now, the truth is, you're going to have guys get hurt sometimes anyway, because injuries are kind of an uncontrollable factor when it comes to college football, when it comes to football in general. There is a huge dark cloud of luck that hangs over this sport. Sometimes it may shine on you as good. Sometimes it may rain on you as bad, but luck is a part of football. I think injuries go in that category, but obviously practicing hard, physical and tough, would at least seem to make it a little bit more likely that you're going to have a player get hurt. But the flip side of that, the other side of the coin, is not practicing tough, hard, and physical makes it a lot less likely you will win games. Now, this is an area in which college football, I believe, is far different than the NFL. You know, if you read and study and follow the NFL, you see that a lot of their practice is weeks during the season. And once you get out of the summer camp stuff, they're a lot less physical than they used to be. There's a lot less, you know, tackling to the ground in NFL practices than there used to be. And to me, that's a huge difference of a 53-man roster versus an 85-man roster. The NFL teams have relatively even talent and smaller number of players on each team. Games on Sundays, but execution and schemes and things along those lines. College football games, though, because of the 85-man roster, are still won because of talent. And deciding who your best talent is, the only way to truly figure that out is to go through tough, rigorous practices and determine all that. And the byproduct of that will be injuries. For what it's worth, Georgia's dealt with this before, too. Go back to August of 2018. It was a terrible day around Dog Nation when, at that point in time, true freshman running back Zamir White, a guy everyone was excited for seeing his debut a year ago, word started to trickle out that he had gotten hurt during practice in kind of a weird situation. Maybe he was, you know, covering a punt or something like that. When Kirby Smart was asked about it there that day, it was obviously an emotional experience for him, much like it was for Saban talking about Moses yesterday. In fact, here's what Kirby said about that at the time.
You guys are amazing. Sony Michel was a first-round pick last year. He covered a punt, all right? Derrick Henry covered every punt at Alabama. I mean, why would you ask that? Is it unusual for him to be on punt? DeAndre Swift's a starter on punt. So is that unusual for our running backs to play? I mean, I'm sick for the kid because I don't know the severity of the injury. It's really not fair that all you guys run out there and throw stuff out there and we don't get a chance to talk to his parents. We've talked about that in here before. If you ask me about it after practice, that's fair. It's not fair for that kid to find a kid's mom to find out about it from somebody talking and texting about it from in here.
So if you go back and listen to Dog Nation Daily the week that we found out about that Zamir White news, I said the same thing then about White that I'm saying about Moses for Alabama now. It stinks when a really good player gets hurt, but injuries are part of the game, and tough practices are a part of preparing you for those games. And if you're going to have the best possible special teams unit you can have, you need the 11 best guys on special team, and you need to practice the way that you play. So I think what you heard from Saban yesterday is an example of the philosophy that's also in place for Kirby Smart as well. They're going to keep practicing tough, they're going to keep battling it out, and there's going to continue to be a good bit of attrition along the way. Part of the reason why I don't think the Moses injury for Alabama is necessarily a game changer if these two teams were playing the SEC championship, because by the time you get to December, Georgia will probably have an injury as well, because football is just a tough, violent, collision type sport. But to be able to withstand all of that, you've got to have the best overall 85 players that you can, and you got to battle them out during practice. So listen closely to what Nick Saban said yesterday. I do think these tough practices are part of the championship formula. Sometimes there's going to be some negative side effects to that. Not a ton you can do about that, but just be glad you've got the depth that you do have. And Georgia is certainly in a better position than most when it comes to the kind of depth to withstand an injury, even a serious one. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us. Live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're also on the radio at noon every day on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we're available as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. We are just really glad to have you with us on Dog Nation Daily here today. And we have a special guest coming up in just a moment. We're going to speak to Tom Hart, who's going to call the game on Saturday night on the SEC Network. I'll get into this with Tom just a little bit when he's with us here in a moment. But I think the broadcast team that he does, the Jordan Rogers and Cole Kubelik, I think that's one of the best in college football right now because they are fans of the sport. And, you know, during the season, Jordan Rogers is going to say something at some point in time that we don't like, and we'll talk about that. And Cole Kubelik's going to say something, and we may disagree with it or, you know, something right along those lines, but you never question the fact that these guys are true, legitimate college football fans. They are truly watching games and getting into the thick of the sport to come up with the opinions that they have. I think it makes that broadcast team fun. I think it's good to have them doing the game for Georgia and Vanderbilt on Saturday night. It's going to be really good to have Tom Hart here on this program in just a moment. Before we get to that, though, let's go around the doghouse here today, brought to you by our friends at Online Trading Academy. And we were doing Before the Hedges presented by Kroger yesterday, and the subject of tight ends came up, and Todd Hartley and some of the cryptic tweets that he's had as of late. What have we seen? We've seen LeBron James and Dwayne Wade going back to the Miami Heat, what I think of as the first super team in NBA history, but he also had a tweet kind of hearkening back to even before that with Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, one of these great tandems, these great partnerships that existed in the NBA. And I've kind of joked out loud of, well, I wonder if Todd Hartley's just the biggest NBA fan in the world. Does he just like walking down memory lane and looking back at these great tandems in the NBA? And of course, that's mostly a joke because obviously we think we know what this means, the significance of this. Hartley's recruiting the tight ends for Georgia. He's got a great relationship with a lot of the elite ones, whether it be a Rick Gilbert or a Theo Johnson or a Darnell Washington. And when Hartley tweets out a Jordan Pippen, a LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, that seems to be a winking, nodding indication that he feels like he's going to get two legit superstars to be a part of his tight end crop for the class of 2020. Well, guess what? In the last 24 hours or so, Hartley was at it again. I think we may have this to show. This time tweeting, now I love the number 8 era from Kobe Bryant, pre-24 era. How about the toss dunk here? Hopefully we don't get in trouble for playing the NBA highlight here on the Dog Nation Daily video. But a little Shaq to a Kobe to Shaq combination here. A little reference there from Todd Hartley. The third super team, super tandem reference from him on Twitter. By now, I think we got to know what this is about. He apparently thinks he's getting two really good tight ends, or at least he's sending out the bat signal that he's trying to get two good ones for the class of 2020. And by the way, for what it's worth, our Dog Nation recruiting insider Jeff Sintel addressed that point off the top of Before the Hedges presented by Kroger yesterday. Here is Jeff.
But tight end's the big thing, Brandon. If you look, Georgia maybe has 7 at the most 8 spots left in its class, and they're going to probably try their darndest to pull at least 2 guys out of there. But 2 out of the remaining 8, we're talking about 25% of the remaining class at Georgia. And the news peg today is kind of simple. Cam Large, who was a pretty stinking good tight end, a 3-star, looked like he apparently got tired of waiting and wondering what was going to happen with all of his other schools, and he decided to go forth and commit to Wisconsin this week, which kind of thins the pool out a little bit and really sets up for Georgia 3 names. The Bulldogs have to pull 2 out of those 3 names to complete their tight end needs for 2020.
So I think it's really interesting from Jeff. He says a lot of these other tight ends, like the Cam Larges or the Jalen Conyers or some of these other tight ends that Georgia has been rumored to be in the mix for, they're kind of choosing their schools now. They are aligning themselves with somewhere else, which kind of only leaves Georgia with a couple tight end spots open and like nothing but the elite guys left. The Theo Johnsons, the Darnell Washingtons, they may be the more likely of the three to become that tandem for Georgia. Maybe a Rick Gilbert being recruited as a wide receiver now, who even knows what the latest and all that is. That's become kind of a weird story to follow. But one way or another, Hartley seems to think he's in good shape for 2 of these 3. And you know what? Between this trio, and you should go back and watch or listen to Before the Hedges presented by Kroger yesterday to find out more about Johnson and Gilbert and Washington. Between these 3, you couldn't go wrong with any of the 2. And right now, it sounds like Georgia feels like it's in a pretty good spot the most fun thing for me right now involving any of the 2020 storylines is this stuff with the tight ends and the fact that Todd Hartley keeps tweeting out these NBA memes or video clips, whatever you want to call them. I think it makes it even more fun. Hartley's a good recruiter, and he's got a good personality on Twitter. This has been kind of fun. It's Around the Doghouse. It's presented by our friends at Online Trading Academy. You know, the best decision you can make is the decision to make money for yourself. Invest in yourself by learning how the markets work. Online Trading Academy gives you a chance to do that both in the classroom and online across a variety of trading styles, an entire spectrum of asset classes. You can learn how the markets work, and you can figure out how to make them work for you. So check them out online at tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. I always say this kind of fast, so let me make sure you understand. It's trading with a D, tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. Start making good trades in the market. Use Online Trading Academy to help you do that. And, of course, it's great to have them as a part of Around the Doghouse here on Dog Nation Daily. All right, we've got an update from Kirby Smart on some key injuries later on. For now, though, here on Dog Nation Daily, I had a chance to sit down and speak to Tom Hart. We'll call the game Saturday on the SEC Network. Hope you enjoy that here on Dog Nation Daily. And here on Dog Nation Daily, it's always a good time for us to be able to talk to the guy who'll call the game on the SEC Network coming up this weekend, Tom Hart, along with Jordan Rogers and Cole Kublik. A really fun broadcast team for a really fun moment for Georgia fans, the start of the 2019 season in Nashville against Vanderbilt. Tom, welcome to the program. And I guess personally, how much fun do you think Nashville is going to be as a backdrop for college football on Saturday night?
Hey, Brandon, thanks for having me. First of all, Nashville is not only one of my favorite towns in the country, but it has quickly become, probably over the last 5 years, one of my favorite sports towns. So, it's got so much going for it. I only wish I didn't have two games this week, because if I didn't have two games, as much as I love being here in College Station and working at Kyle Field Thursday night, I wouldn't mind being on Lower Broadway, being some folks and running around a little bit.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad thing to be able to do at all. And I think back to 2017 when Georgia was in South Bend against Notre Dame, and there's obviously a pretty big contingent of Georgia fans on hand there, so much so that the NBC broadcast that night does make some reference to that. If we look in the stands on Saturday night and we see, I don't know if it's going to be two-thirds of the building, but let's say it's 55-60% of the building wearing red and black, that's probably happened at Vanderbilt before. Is that enough of a significant storyline that you and the guys there in the broadcast team, will you make note of that? You know, how aware are you all of the fact that there are tens of thousands of Georgia fans, I think, who are making on, taking this trip up to Nashville for very much the same reason you mentioned, because it's just such a fun town to be in for a weekend?
Well, I would say this. It's certainly be something that we'll make note of, especially when it starts to sound like a Sanford Stadium crowd, and I fully expect that to happen. But it's, unfortunately for the Vandy folks, turning this around from their perspective, it's not on top of there. I've done a lot of Tennessee Vandy games there. Alabama, when they go up there, they take the place over. Georgia's taken the place over before. The reason the Notre Dame thing stuck out, and if you've been to Notre Dame as a fan without a rooting interest, in the past you probably noticed there's a lot of not just visiting fans that show up in South Bend, but there's also a lot of random college football fans. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a mess. Hey, I've never been here. I want to check out the Grotto, this famous stadium. So it's a cool place to go. I've always said, because we all know that Vanderbilt is in dire need of better facilities, whether you think that they should do a practice facility or a stadium. I've always said, build a new stadium and put as many suites in there as you want, because you'll sell them out to all the Tennessee fans or Georgia fans or whomever is coming there every other year, and you can make money on that alone.
Yeah.
45,000 people, that thing is going to be bursting at the seams with red. And the other thing that stood out to me, Brandon, last year, that Notre Dame trip, it wasn't the fact that they took over South Bend, but also, with my Braves background, I want to also seeing all those Georgia fans take over Wrigley Field. Was really cool.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing I don't think any of us will forget that had a chance to be a part of that. When you also look ahead to this weekend, you know, you see Clemson on Thursday night. That's chief competition for Georgia for national championship. They're more than a 30-point favorite at home against Georgia Tech. Alabama's a 30-plus point favorite against Duke. The injury to Dylan Moses doesn't really change that all that much. By comparison, Georgia's less of a favorite. They're playing a better team probably as well at Vanderbilt. How much does Georgia need to keep pace with a big score on Saturday as someone who not only watches this game and broadcasts it but also evaluates the team that you're seeing? How much are you looking to see Georgia send a message about kind of where it ranks among the national elite through 1 week? Is that a storyline for you this weekend?
Yeah, not so much, and I tell you why. I mean, I think it'll be a comfortable victory for Georgia, but I don't think Kirby Smart or Dan Lanning, just to use two examples, I don't think they really care. Do they want a dominating performance defensively? Absolutely they do. Is Vanderbilt better this year than they have been in a long time offensively? We'll see from a quarterback position, but they've got a big three in running back, tight end, wide receiver. They're dependable guys. They're going to put up a lot of points against a lot of great defenses. I think what you're looking for in terms of, you know, how do you judge this performance, and if it is a performance that covers the number, just for argument's sake for Georgia, is how efficient can you be offensively? Do you have a wide receiver that has stepped up in the bright light and, you know, on game day and can prove to be not just reliable, because you have that in the tight end, but a game-breaking wide receiver? And I think they have plenty of candidates to be that. And can you get out of there healthy? The bottom line is you're starting on the road and for the first time in a quarter century. The main thing you want is a win. And considering that this should be a comfortable victory, the second thing that you want is to get out of there healthy and have something to build.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. How good do you think this big three for Vanderbilt is? Obviously, Keyshawn Vaughn's the name that I think Georgia fans have probably paid the most attention to because he's a running back, and yet Lipscomb and Pinckney, they are pretty impressive players in their own right. You know, this is the kind of thing you talk about when folks are getting ready for the start of a season, what the other side brings to the table. And in this case, no matter who the quarterback for the Commodores ends up being on Saturday, it seems like he's got some pretty good help with some of these skill position offensive guys around him, do they not?
Absolutely, and it starts with Keyshawn Vaughn. Had the bowl game last year. I had him a ton during the season and was impressed from him early on. But he's a running back who has gotten better each and every year. And I think he's poised to have a breakout season. That's why he's preseason second team All-SEC. As far as Kalijah Lipscomb is concerned, I mean, this is a guy who is as reliable as any wide receiver in college football. I mean, I think especially in the SEC. I mean, listen, Jerry Jeudy's the best wide receiver in the country, but in terms of being a guy who's reliable, that you can get the ball to, that you can count on, because they haven't really had a whole lot of depth around him. And I don't know what they're going to do at the quarterback position. I would guess that they're probably going to play a couple of guys. But Riley Neal, while he has experience, you know, statistically, his numbers weren't very good in the MAC, and Deuce Wallace is more of a dual threat guy. So I'm afraid from Vandy's perspective, I know Georgia doesn't care about this, but I'm afraid from Vandy's perspective that they might have some efficiency issues getting the ball off to Pinckney and Lipscomb.
Well, I know this. Last year, and really now for a while, you and Jordan and Cole, y'all have had a lot of fun on these broadcasts. Some of the SEC, the weekend stuff you do after the games, you guys got to do some of that kind of stuff for us again this year as well. We enjoy following you all wherever you go, and I'm sure you've got a lot of fun stuff planned this season as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the idea. We actually got a big steak dinner planned tonight after we sit down with Texas State and their coaching staff. To see, we're going to continue with the weekend stuff. And the beauty of that show that we do on the SEC Network Twitter handle and on Facebook and stuff is we're dudes who are going back to the hotel Saturday night to watch more football and talk more football anyway. And so it's not like anybody's getting rich off of it. It's just a labor of love to sit down and share our thoughts about what we saw throughout the day in college football. It's a ton of fun. I'm lucky and I'm blessed to work with two guys who work their tails off, who show up prepared, and are wildly talented and just fun to hang out with. And that's something I certainly do not take for granted.
Well, I can say this as someone who's on the other end of that broadcast. You want guys who are football fans calling football games. That's what you guys do. We appreciate that, Tom. Also, thanks for your time here on Dog Nation Daily. Looking forward to the call this weekend. Thanks for helping us get ready for that game. Enjoy Nashville. Enjoy this football season. And we'll hopefully get a chance to chat with you very soon here as well.
Hey, Brandon, that'd be great. Here's my one advice to dog fans headed up there. Don't get frustrated by the traffic in and around the West End. Go ahead and walk, because that's going to be your best bet with so many people at that game.
That is good advice, Tom. We'll take you up on that. Thanks for your time.
All right, brother.
All right, good stuff there from Tom Hart from the SEC Network. I had a chance to talk to him yesterday. Of course, you just heard that for the first time now. We recorded that for yesterday, but really thankful to have him as a part of the program. And of course, glad to have you with us here on Dog Nation Daily as well. Let me keep the conversation going about what's going to happen on Saturday against the Commodores and who might play and who might not as a part of our injury update brought to you by Ortho Atlanta. Now, Kirby Smart, when he spoke on Monday, did provide a little bit of an update on some of this. So let's get ready to check this out now in terms of freshman linebacker who'd been a little banged up, key reserve along your offensive line, maybe a little banged up as well, and still kind of an uncertain situation when it comes to the Georgia defensive line. Here is what Kirby told us Monday in terms of who's healthy and who's not as part of our Ortho Atlanta injury report.
As far as injuries, you know, N'Kobe's practiced. He's been back. He's not 100%, but he has practiced, which is promising. They had a day off yesterday, so I know a lot more today with him coming out there, whether he's, you know, 80, 90, 100. I don't know where he is, but he's been able to get a lot of rehab. Jamari is still fighting his way back. He's probably behind where N'Kobe is, but still expecting to get him back. Nobody really else, unless you're specifically thinking of somebody.
Rochester?
Well, I don't know who's going to travel yet. We haven't made that decision. I mean, that's decided in practice. We still have practice to do. So that's not a decision we make later in the week, but he's practicing.
So Kirby Smart, a little bit non-committal there at the end when it comes to Julian Rochester. He's not the only defensive lineman who's been dealing with the situation. Obviously, David Marshall with the Liz Frank operation that he had that kept him out for a lot of the second half of last season. Not a factor during spring practice, and maybe still a little bit uncertain here for this upcoming Saturday there as well. So as Georgia's defensive line tries to figure out where things are going and where things are heading in terms of needing to improve the overall havoc rate, which has been talked about a ton, getting better with the against the run, which is something here on Dog Nation Daily we've addressed quite a good bit. Still kind of uncertain how, you know, certainly Julian Rochester, maybe even David Marshall factors into all of that. As far as the other guys that he mentions, N'Kobe Dean, if healthy, I do think is going to be a factor here in this linebacking situation this season. We'll see how much of that he shows in his first game. I really think that's been one of the very interesting progressions that we've seen thus far since Dean's been on campus, the way that we typically think of inside linebackers, the kind of position the true freshmen don't typically play really well right away, and yet Dean is confounding our expectations for what freshmen are able to do at that inside linebacker position, at least thus far. You hope to have him at full health because he is a lot of fun to watch, and he's potentially a pretty big part of the Georgia linebacking situation. You also, as we get close to the season, you feel like the more experienced players, you know, such as Tate Crowder and Monty Rice, are still a big part of this. Now, Rice also dealt with some injury stuff a year ago as well. Connor Riley had a good piece up on that at DogNation.com this morning. It's nice to have Rice back to full health here now. But even with the veteran players like Rice and Crowder being a major factor in the linebacking story and likely your starters at least on Saturday night, Dean, assuming he's got the health situation worked out, is going to be a big part of that. And then Jamari Salyer is not one of your five starters along the offensive line, but he is certainly one of your top two reserves. He's the kind of guy that's going to end up playing a pretty good bit. And while it's been Cade Mays who's gotten most of the attention for being your versatile reserve offensive lineman, or Mays' case, he could be a starter at right guard. You know, Jamari Salyer is going to have, he kind of has some of that there as well. You know, when he came to Georgia, he was thought as either maybe a center or a guard, primarily an interior offensive lineman. And now, when healthy, he's probably your key backup at right tackle behind Isaiah Wilson. So much the same way Cade Mays could potentially play at least four, if not all five, offensive line positions, Jamari Salyer's kind of in that same mold there too. And he's one of the guys that's going to end up playing a lot, either because somebody else gets hurt or just because you want to gain him the experience he needs to be a pivotal part of your offensive line in 2020. So watch the health situation as it relates to that, too. It's our injury report. It's brought to you by our friends at Ortho Atlanta. Ortho Atlanta's got 14 locations through Metro Atlanta with orthopedic and sports medicine care for the whole family, including seniors and kids. They've also got 39 physicians and 450 employees dedicated to patient care. They offer in-house physical therapy, MRI imaging, outpatient surgery, and after-hours orthopedic care for little leaguers, weekend warriors, pros, collegiate athletes, and everyone in between. It's been said that a good orthopedist can get you back in the game, but a great one can get you back your life. That's why Ortho Atlanta is Dog Nation's choice for orthopedic and sports medicine care. You can find out more about them at their website. Go to orthoatlanta.com. That's orthoatlanta.com. One more quick point. Going back to our interview with Tom Hart a moment ago, we were talking about Georgia and Saturday against Vanderbilt and maybe the sort of comparative score game that kind of goes on with what may happen between the Dogs and the Commodores. Georgia, what, about a 21-point favorite here? Clemson, a big favorite against Georgia Tech tonight. Alabama Saturday against Duke. And Tom said he doesn't think it's time yet for Georgia to start worrying about that kind of stuff too much. But I have to admit, coming from the perspective of a fan as a moment, I am a little curious to see, you know, how Georgia, one of the top three teams in the country, does do in keeping pace with the maybe impressive, eye-popping margin of victory here in week one. However, it also brings to mind something that CrowKing123 said in our YouTube comment section. Clemson actually plays Tech tonight, ACC Network, and I reckon I'm not going to get to watch this. Now, I know our buddy Connor Ollie says you can just stream it on the Watch ESPN app. The truth is, the chance of me actually successfully pulling that off are probably not great. I don't believe the ACC Network, though, is on my television provider. I'm still old school guy. I have not cut the cord. I've still got the cord very much plugged into the wall. If you've got a family of four, honestly, it's actually probably a better deal than not when you got kids watching kids programming, my wife watching, you know, HGTV and everything that she watches, and me watching the sports. So I'm still kind of a plugged into the wall type of guy, but I don't believe we have the ACC Network. Maybe thus far, the rollout for the ACC, not quite the same as it was for the SEC Network, which is obviously kind of a staple for, I think, most TV packages and has been for quite some time. So Clemson plays Georgia Tech tonight. You may have to listen to this one on the radio.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, let's talk about the rest of the SEC for a moment. Let's do our SEC Through. And as I do that, let me remind you about our friends at Kroger. You can go to dognation.com right now, right up there at the top. Really cool ad and really cool way to click in and get some information on our friends at Kroger about some big stuff they have coming up this weekend. I've been saying this now for a while. Even though we're starting the football season, we're also thinking about Labor Day weekend. You can make Labor Day Flavor Day with our friends at Kroger. How about these great savings? Half boneless New York strip loin, just $5.99 a pound. When you use your card, you can get big savings on Coke products. And listen, got to get the dessert there as well. You know, my kids love those, like, little drumstick popsicle things. They just go crazy for those. They get big savings on those, too, as we head towards Labor Day. Make sure you check that out at your local Kroger and go to dognation.com to get more information on that, too. All right, a couple of stories here. I saw where LSU coach Ed Orgeron has had some very complimentary things to say as of late about freshman running back John Emery Jr., who I don't have to tell you is a one-time UGA commit. LSU won that battle for the in-state product. And this week, I saw this on 24/7 Sports, Orgeron was saying that, listen, so far, everything about John Emery Jr. has been as advertised, that Emery looks to be, I guess, a pretty big part of this offense for the Tigers this season. Now, he is not the only really good freshman running back LSU is likely to have. If you want to go back, and I don't know why you would go back just for this point, but if you ever want to go back to the archives throughout Dog Nation daily history, Jeff Sintel, when Georgia was recruiting running backs for the class of 2019 last year, in the early stages of that, there was some thought that Georgia might try to get involved with Ty Davis a bit. Ty Davis had a relationship with Del McGee as well, and Jeff would have told you back here on this show that he thought that Ty Davis, despite the fact that he wasn't ranked among like the top 1, 2, 3 backs in the country, was a really good prospect in his own right. And so he's on this team there as well. So I have been strongly of the belief that LSU is going to knock off Alabama, win the SEC West. I said that before Dylan Moses got injured. Still feel that way now. And part of the reason I feel that way is because I do believe This is going to be a better LSU offense than we've seen in the last couple of years. I think that Joe Burrow's an improved quarterback. I think this is the best quarterback LSU's had on its campus, probably since Zach Mettenberger in 2013, almost certainly since then. I think these freshman running backs, Emery, who you've heard Orgeron compliment, Ty Davis, who's a bit of a prospect himself, to go along with a deep crop of LSU wide receivers. What else is new on that front? I think the LSU offense is going to be pretty impressive. We'll see some of that week one, but especially week two when this team takes on Texas. Interesting to hear Orgeron talking up Emory Jr. as of right now. Here is a kind of weird story coming out of Tennessee, and I say weird because I'm not exactly 100% sure how to feel about it. So Trey Smith has reportedly been cleared to play in Tennessee's season opener against Georgia State. Now, on the one hand, we've talked about Smith in this space a couple of times before, and I'm really happy for him to be apparently healthy enough to play. He's been dealing with a blood clot situation. This is kind of maybe even in a genetic situation. He's had other people in his family kind of deal with this before, too. So this is a serious, more health-related than injury-related situation for Trey Smith. So on the one hand, it's seemingly good news that he's going to be able to play. However, and this is the part I'm not going to pretend to know more about than I do, if you go back and look at the statement, I don't have the full statement to read in front of me right now. I wouldn't have time to read it even if I did. The language in this statement about Trey Smith being ruled eligible to play, not ruled eligible, but I guess cleared by doctors, is very carefully worded. It's something to the effect of, we've put a plan in place for how I can play football again. If it were me, if I were part of Smith's family or if I were part of the Tennessee football team, I'd feel a whole lot better if it was one of these things of great news, I'm 100% clear, I'm ready to go out and play. Careful language when it comes to something like this just seems a little bit weird. This is not a criticism because I have no inside knowledge or even extra outside knowledge of exactly what's going on here. But for a guy who has dealt with a very serious health situation, knowing that he's coming back to the game, and doing so with a very carefully worded statement about his current health condition, I don't know. That kind of makes you... I'm sure they know what their situation is. They know what they're doing. It was a very weird statement to go along with what should be really good news for Trey Smith. I saw where former Auburn quarterback Malik Willis was not granted eligibility at Liberty. He'll have to wait. And it just kind of continues this arbitrary policy of deciding who gets eligibility and who doesn't. Willis was essentially eliminated from the Auburn quarterback competition. They'd settled on Joey Gatewood and Bo Nix as the primary competitors there before they finally picked Nix to be the starting quarterback. So Willis was not going to be granted an opportunity to play at Auburn. He chose to go to Liberty instead. That is an FBS program, so maybe it's an FBS program now, so maybe they're treated a little bit more strictly because of that. Maybe they just don't like Hugh Freeze, the Flames' current coach, but Malik Willis does not get his immediate eligibility. He'll sit out a year, and I think he has 2 years beyond that. Willis, a former Auburn quarterback working with Hugh Freeze, assuming he sticks around Lynchburg, Virginia, that could actually get to be pretty interesting to follow. And then one more SEC through story to get to here for a moment. We've talked about Bryce Thompson, the Tennessee defensive back, who's kind of been in some trouble. Another domestic violence allegation against him. Kind of a weird statement from him, almost threatening to shoot up the school or something like that. He was saying that in anger, apparently dealing with whatever went on with him and the young lady he was involved with. Now it comes to light, and maybe other people knew this, I didn't. Apparently he has a previous accusation on his record here as well, which for now he's suspended, but in terms of how Jeremy Pruitt handles this going forward. And listen, I'm all kind of for, for second chances and giving guys a second chance there as well, but when you give a second chance to a guy, you are also letting him borrow your reputation. So for Pruitt, who's a relatively inexperienced coach, who's been at Tennessee only for a short period of time and hasn't given a lot of wins to his fans, how much reputation does Pruitt have to extend to Bryce Thompson here, and how much of that is he even willing to extend? That's probably going to be a story worth watching. And then kind of along those same lines, if that was funny, we played this audio on Monday because this video resurfaced, the Saban clip from 2014 about giving players chances, and it's kind of funny, most in the media this week almost treated that like it was a new statement, but pretty sure that was like 5 years old or whatever. Well, Shelley Meyer saw that, and that's Urban Meyer's wife, and she fired back to some of the folks on Twitter about how the fact that everybody's praising Nick Saban for wanting to give guys second chances. At the time when Saban made that statement, they weren't exactly praising Saban for doing those things, but she said in this tweet, Shelley Meyer, Urban Meyer's wife, that that's what her husband tried to do, and he got vilified for doing it. So when to give a second chance and when not to, That'll continue to be, I guess, a hot debate amongst folks who care about college football, and a tough choice for the coaches who consider that for their players, or for, in Meyer's case, maybe an assistant coach. Kind of a touchy subject, but something there's plenty of passion about on both sides. We'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, attention turning and looking ahead to what's going to happen in Nashville on Saturday for the Dogs against the Vanderbilt Commodores. And, of course, the excitement for this continues to build. And one of the things that a lot of Georgia fans will also be doing, watching their own team, but also maybe a measure of curiosity with what Justin Fields is going to do at Ohio State, with what Jacob Eason is going to do at Washington. I know that Chip Towers has an interesting piece about that at the AJC. You can check that out online at AJC.com. And this week, when Fromm was asked on that same topic, as you might imagine, he's not playing ball too much in terms of being all that interested in Fields or Eason. He's got his own attention focused squarely on the Commodores. Here's what Fromm said about that.
I mean, I wish those guys nothing but the best for their seasons. But right now I'm trying to lock in, focus on Vanderbilt and how we can win that football game.
I have to confess one thing. When I heard that clip for the first time, when Fromm at the end says there that he's focused on Vanderbilt, I thought he said better built, and I thought this was like a new catchphrase that Georgia had instituted to go along with the do more and everything else, that Georgia was going to be better built this season, but that's not what he said. He said Vanderbilt, and it is not a surprise that Fromm does want to talk about Fields and Eason, although it's just a foregone conclusion that there will be a lot of curiosity amongst Georgia fans about how both of those guys do. And yet I fully expect Jake Fromm to more than keep up the pace with what he does against the Commodores on Saturday night and what he does all season long. And one of the ways that he's going to get that done, seemingly, is by getting up to speed very quickly in real game action with a brand new crop of wide receivers. Some guys who've been in the program before, but maybe in a bigger role now they've been in the past. Others who are fresh and brand new to the program. How has he worked to get those guys ready? Fromm has talked about that a lot this summer. Here was his most recent statement on that topic.
It starts with our culture. You know, how can we get these guys in our culture, understand what we're about as a football program and what we're about as a team? So how can they get in, assemble with us, and understand, hey, it's win now, and hopefully they're ready for that.
Certainly hope they will be ready for that on Saturday night. And my guess is the time they spent with Jake Fromm will indeed give them a great opportunity to do just that. If you are not going to Nashville, you're looking for some weekend plans here this weekend, make sure you think about Callaway Resort and Gardens annual Hot Air Balloon Fest. Labor Day weekend's a great time to be at Callaway Resort and Gardens, and the good news is it's not too late to get your ticket. You can also get discounts and express entry when you buy those tickets in advance. There's a Friday night balloon glow of family-friendly stuff. The lake is still open. Callaway Resort and Gardens is a really cool place to be. My kids and family loved it this summer, and if you haven't been in a while or if you haven't ever been, this weekend's a great time to go. So let me give you a website to go to here, CallawayGardens.com. CallawayGardens.com. Find out about the big Callaway Resort and Gardens annual Hot Air Balloon Festival. What a fun thing this weekend. Make sure you check that out if you're going to be in town. And for now, we'll get ready to wrap up Dog Nation Daily and remind you, as we'd like to do, with our Gatorator update. 1,034 days. That's how long it's been since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. Around here, we think that's good news because we believe that Georgia's number one rival, no matter how good Georgia is or how bad Florida is or anything else in between, it's all about getting it done against Florida. That's the first step towards the next step, which is owning the East, and the step after that, which is maybe winning the SEC, getting the college football playoff, and winning the national championship. Taking care of your rivals, especially this one, is the first step along that way, and we'll look forward in 2019. A lot of Georgia fans certainly hope to see that happen. Let me give you one more quick reminder about something that's coming up for us tonight that I'm really excited about. We will debut our Marlowe's matchup, Georgia versus Vanderbilt. Thoughts on the game from our buddy, the former UGL American John Stinchcomb. Stay tuned for that this evening on the Dog Nation video channels. And I will see you back here tomorrow for Dog Nation Daily.